Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call of IOL Chemicals and Pharmaceuticals Limited, hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Monish Shah from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rutuja. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to IOL Chemicals and Pharmaceuticals Limited 4Q FY22 results conference call. Today on the call, we have with us Dr. Sanjay Chaturvedi, CEO, Mr. Pradeep Khanna, CFO, and Mr. Abhay Raj Singh, VP and Company Secretary. I will hand the call over to Dr. Sanjay for his opening comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Monish. Very good afternoon to everyone joined on the call. Really appreciate you all taking the time to participate in this earnings call. I trust you had the time to read the earnings document I shared. I'm certain that, you know, many of you are going to have questions, but before we take up those questions, I'd like to, you know, shed some light on the industry, what's our business, you know, what's our own perspective in terms of performance for the quarter and the year. Subsequently, my colleague, Mr. Pradeep Khanna, our CFO, will provide a lot more granular details on the financial performance. Let me begin by saying that, you know, our non-ibuprofen pharma business has performed well compared to the prior period and is now contributing about 20% to the quarterly revenue for the company and overall about 35% to the revenue in the pharma segment. During the Q4, we filed one DMF with the U.S. FDA, whereas for the entire year, we filed about four new DMFs with the U.S. FDA. In addition, we also filed, you know, three CEP applications with EDQM. During the financial year 2022, the company got additional approvals from Korean FDA for two products, and six products got approval from the Russian regulatory authorities. All these regulatory approvals will enable the company for increased market penetration and add value for the business in the export markets. It gives me great pleasure to update that the company has filed three patent applications in FY22. Now coming to the financial performance, I'm pleased with the performance of the non-ibuprofen business compared to Q3. On an aggregate basis, our revenue grew 11% for the year. However, the margins have been under stress on account of, you know, continued volatility in the chemicals pricing and on account of higher input costs in raw materials and energy for the pharma segment, coupled with lower volumes in our flagship product of ibuprofen. Our ibu business is expected to see volume uptick in 2023, and that too with stable pricing. I am optimistic on our pharma segment as a whole as capacities for other potentially large products are ready. With improved business mix with the pharma segment, we expect our gross margins to improve hereon. With this, I would like to hand over to my colleague, Mr. Pradeep Khanna, our CFO, who will be talking more in detail. Over to you, Mr. Pradeep.
Thank you, Dr. Sanjay. Good afternoon to all, and warm welcome to IOL quarter four of financial year 2022 earnings conference call. I will take through the highlights for the quarter four and financial year 2022. The total revenue for the quarter increased by 3% to rupees 573 crore as compared to rupees 555 crore in quarter three of financial year 2022. In quarter four of financial year 2022, the EBITDA stood at rupees 50 crore, and for full financial year 2022, it was at 288 crore at a revenue of 2,216 crore. Similarly, EBITDA margin in quarter four of financial year 2022 was at 8.6% and 13% for financial year 2022. Depreciation for the quarter was rupees 11 crore and rupees 43 crore for the full year. Profit after tax for quarter four of financial year 2022 stood at rupees 28 crore and rupees 1 66 crore for the whole year. The PAT margin for the financial year 2022 was at 7.5%. With this, I would now request the moderator to open the forum for question and answer session. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The first question is from the line of Dhaval Shah from Swan Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah. Sir, couple of questions from my side. First being, could you explain us what happened on the chemical business, you know, which led to reporting a loss at the EBIT level? Also, your outlook going forward over the next two quarters on the chemical side, what expansions are we having there and what sort of growth can we see? Also, how is the situation in terms of the raw material which will impact the margins on the chemical front? Secondly, on the drug side, you know, you had shared in our last conversation, you shared about the non-IBU business progressing well. Also you had shared some overall EBITDA which you see for the FY 2022. Do you still stand by that number, what you had shared earlier? These are my two questions. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me first address, you know, Dhaval, your query on the chemical side.
Sure.
Within chemicals, you had two queries in there. The first one was about what happened to the profitability level and what is the view going forward.
Yes.
In terms of profitability, as you know that, you know, our primary product, ethyl acetate.
Yes.
Depends on acetic acid, which comes entirely from exports.
Correct.
Now, there has been a lot of volatility in the acetic acid pricing, and really it comes down to, you know, at what price do you book your import. Rather than look at profitability for the chemicals business on a transaction-by-transaction basis or a, you know, month-by-month basis, one has to understand that when we place the order for the raw material, it takes at least 2 months before that raw material gets used in our facility. One should look at, you know, the average profitability in terms of quarters or years rather than month-by-month, because it's very hard to get the timing.
Agreed. Yes, yes. Agreed. Like, in previous quarters we have had gains and now, you know, it's kind of normalizing.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree that. Like, I mean, in other companies like Jubilant Ingrevia or Lakshmi Organic, some other companies making the same product, they also had a big blow on profitability.
Yeah.
You know, but we, you know, going under and reporting a loss is something, you know. Did we have a large amount of inventory, you know, or high cost inventory sitting compared to the what policy, you know, these those large companies follow? From that angle I wanted to understand. Yeah.
No. You know, overall, let me reiterate the message that for the annual, on an annual basis, we will continue to make 6%-8% EBITDA on the chemicals business. Having said that, no, it was not a question of having a large amount of inventory, but it was really a function of us buying acetic acid. By that time we used that acetic acid, the price of ethyl acetate had actually come down. You know, it ended up a situation, flip situation where the raw material price was much higher. On the contrary, you know, if you compare to some of the previous quarters where we've had situations where, you know, the price of ethyl acetate went up and the acetic acid we had bought happened to be at a lower price. There you will see, you know, our EBITDA numbers were well beyond 8%.
Right.
I think I want to look at this as an average of what we do, rather than a quarter by quarter. You know, the message I want to leave you with, Dhaval, is.
Yeah.
You know, the business is not under threat. the margins are, there is no structural factor as a consequence we should be concerned about, you know, long-term average EBITDA margins for the chemicals business.
Got it. Sir, could you give us a breakup of the chemical business, water products are there, you know, any sort of breakup which can help us the chemical business understand better?
Yeah, so, you know, primarily we have ethyl acetate and IBB, isobutyl benzene, you know, MCA and a few others that add. But, you know, the way to think about it is the Pareto principle, you know, 80-85% of our revenue comes from ethyl acetate.
Okay, 80-85% is ethyl acetate, and there is also inter-segment which is there, which is being used in the drugs division. So, so IBB is something which will be going in the drugs division, correct?
Yes, we also sell some IBB outside.
Okay, and this ethyl acetate is completely sold out, so that will be consumed within the company. What percentage would be there?
Ethyl acetate is all sale into the outside market, whereas IBB is a combination of what I use. But you know what I'm using is not really counting as a sale into the chemical division, because that gets accounted in the value chain and gets counted as ibuprofen.
True. Now, in terms of next 3-year outlook, in terms of the capacities, what we have in the chemical business today and 3 years down the line, what is the change is going to happen?
Okay. I think the 2 points I will highlight here. One is my existing capacity is about 1 lakh tons on ethyl acetate. And over the next couple of years, I will have, marginal expansion of this by maybe 20-25%, and that will be all through minor modifications of the plant. I will not be adding a new ethyl acetate plant where I am currently. That's one.
Okay.
Second, we are in the process of identifying new products for which we will be adding capacities, and that should come online sometime around next year. So my chemicals business will grow. Most of that growth will come from non-ethyl acetate products that we've identified.
Okay, and those products would be used as solvents, intermediates, feedstock by your consumer. What those products would be?
So these would be products that basically go into a similar customer base to what I have today. So I don't have to reinvent the wheel in terms of having a new sales channel. The idea is to leverage my existing commercial infrastructure in terms of, my commercial footprint in terms of manufacturing, in terms of supply chain, in terms of commercial, in terms of sales and distribution, but basically add to the product portfolio to service my existing clients.
Okay. And by when would this new products come on stream in the commercial production start?
This would be functional. We are the capex is being put on the ground as we speak. It will take us about 1 year or so. So I think you can expect commercial activity by the end of this financial year or early next year.
Okay, so we should start seeing the numbers in FY24.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so now, so what sort of growth will this give to our chemicals division?
It should add, the thumb rule to remember is, if you want to have a significant growth in a business, that business must grow by at least double digits, 10-20%. So that is the kind of figure that we are targeting initially. And the idea is to, add that kind of growth in a sustained way. So I don't want a situation where I add, 10-20% for the first 1 year and second year is there enough. So think about it in terms of double digit growth coming every year.
Okay, with this new expansion which you're undertaking. Plus the debottlenecking which will do for the ETAC plant.
Absolutely. So between the two activities, you can expect a double-digit top-line growth with enhancement in bottom-line as well. Because needless to say, the new products that we launch will have EBITDA numbers that are certainly higher than 6-8%.
Great. And as on today, I think in the last 1-2 days, again, there has been some increase in ethyl acetate pricing. So are we better than Q4? For Q1 23, are we better than Q4 in ethyl acetate business? I mean, for chemical business as a whole.
Yes, we are certainly better because we had bought acetic acid when the prices went down. So.
Acha. So we should be back to 6-8% EBITDA margin in Q1?
It would be preliminary for me to say whether we'll be back to 6-8%, but we'll certainly be in the positive single digits.
Okay. And now coming on the drug side, so FY23, we are expecting around 500 crore non-ibuprofen, around 750 crore ibuprofen revenue. Is my assumptions correct?
Yes. More or less, you are in line with where we would be.
Okay. And you mentioned ibu in this fourth quarter, our volumes were less. So yeah, that is that due to the more inventory in the channel or if any reason particularly you want to point out?
Yeah. So see, the overstocking that had happened in the previous year is still not been from our key accounts, the lead customers has still not been eliminated. But now we see that number picking up. So whether it happens in this quarter or next, when will full recovery happen? The jury's out there. But we have clearly bottomed out in terms of volume demand as well as pricing.
Okay.
May I request you to please rejoin the queue?
Yeah, I'll join the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Suresh from Samatva Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just have a couple of questions on IBU. The first one was if you could highlight, how is the demand in the regulated markets working? I understand you said to the previous question, you said that the volumes have bottomed down. But if you could just indicate over the next 1 year, how do you see the volumes in the regulated market?
Okay. So I think the volumes, I don't want to talk about only the regulated markets. Let me give you, a broader picture of where the volumes are. So if you look at, our asset was running roughly at about, 70% or so asset utilization, slightly higher. We should add a few percentage points to it, certainly in these coming quarters. So, if I look at, do I predict that, we will sell, to full capacity? Perhaps not, but certainly at a higher capacity and asset utilization than what we sold in the previous year.
Great. So and my second question was on the BASF facility that was, they had announced a couple of months back that they may shut it. So has there been any, in terms of volumes in the market, has that impacted the volumes? And have you seen any price increase due to that?
No, we have not seen any addition of any additional product coming from BASF capacity, and all that BASF is manufacturing from our understanding is still in their US facility, and they are not manufacturing. There are no API manufacturers in Europe.
Great, sir. So in my last question, do you see the prices of IBU, increasing over this year, maybe in the second half once the, overstocking issue gets solved?
Most certainly, because this is, if I look at one is the price, the other is the input cost. Input costs of all the raw materials has gone up. Energy costs has doubled. The situation in Russia is certainly not helping. So when input costs go up, the final product prices also go up. It might be a phase lag. So we don't know at this point whether that phase lag is going to be 1 quarter or 2 quarters. But most certainly, this is the lowest level of ibuprofen prices that we've seen in the last couple of years. So the only way to move is up now.
Just one final question. How much have been we able to pass it on, the input price? Have we been able to pass on more than 70-80%, or are we still working on that right now?
So right now, we are still working on that. Yeah, that continues to be a challenge. And, our cost that we were able to pass along is actually a small fraction of what our costs have gone up. And that is the reason for the decline in profits that you see.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. And I wish you all the very best. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your points for it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Monish Shah from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good afternoon, Dr. Chaturvedi.
Good afternoon, Monish.
Okay. So just wanted to check in non-IPU business, what is, which products are contributing to the growth? If you can highlight the
couple of names?
Yeah, so you know, metformin, clopidogrel, pantoprazole, levetiracetam, these are some of the products that continue to be, you know, from our good products in our portfolio.
Okay, understood. And given that we have good capacities in metformin, do you think the realizations have improved and you've been able to take some price increase as well this fiscal?
So, you know, there are two ways to look at this, Monish. One is there is certainly a distinct difference in pricing between the export market and the Indian market. And when there was a unique situation earlier this year where the India prices were actually higher than export prices. Okay. That has reversed and come back to the normal situation where India prices are now significantly lower than export prices. Having said that, metformin is one of those unique APIs where, you know, as they say, we are in the same storm and in the same boat. We are not even in different boats. Every manufacturer is buying DCDA from China. So, you know, there is no backward integration. And till that happens, the only profitability leverage that you have here is whether you are selling into the export markets or not, and whether within the export markets, you are selling into the regulated markets or not. So if you look at the leading four, five metformin players, the players with higher profitability are the ones that have disproportionate sale coming from exports into the regulated markets. So now that we filed the regulatory papers and we are in the approval process, it will still take us a few more quarters to get there. But needless to say, we've set up capacities and we are ready to brace this challenge.
Okay, understood. So do you think, sir, your gross margins will improve, you know, maybe in second half of 23 onwards, once your non-IPU contribution is, you know, growing faster? Is that how we should look at it?
Yes, certainly.
Okay, and so last question, any view on raw material availability and shipping lead times with, you know, China reopening now?
So, you know, it's again too early to say whether the lead time will go down or not. I think the availability of raw materials was never a challenge. The challenge was in timely deliveries and the pricing. So, I'm hoping that, you know, with China back on, some of these prices will start to de-escalate. And we are already seeing early signs of that in some of the KSMs that we buy from China. But, you know, I think it's still very early to give a verdict that yes, this is the direction that this will continue to move for the long term, because this is a very recent phenomenon.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ranveer Singh from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. Sir, my question is related to acetic acid, you know, procurement. So their pricing has been volatile for quite some time, even in the last year also. So what is our strategy to hedge this? So whether we are accumulating inventory at a particular, you know, price or for a period. So if you could give, you know, more detail on it.
Okay. So, you know, this is a very tricky question, Ranveer, because if I look at acetic acid sourcing, number one, there aren't too many options to get into, you know, formula-based pricing, you know, as is typically done in several chemicals. Second, our volumes of manufacturing are significantly high and we need to carry slightly larger inventories than other of our competitors, primarily because there is, you know, we are slightly removed from the port. So if I factor all of those things in, we try to carry inventories that are, you know, slightly higher than industry averages. So this does two things for us. Number one, the amount of working capital that we deploy for this goes up higher than competition. And number two, the other thing that impacts us is, you know, really higher volumes that are required than normal. And the way to mitigate this risk is by having an assurance of demand. And we do that by getting into, you know, relationships with some of our strategic key accounts where, you know, I know, you know, account A is going to buy X volume from me every month and every year and every quarter. And also now we have started to look at, you know, some of the exports, because the export price realization in this is somewhat better. That will still take us, you know, a few quarters to achieve the kind of potential we want. But ultimately, you know, there is no silver bullet for acetic acid sourcing. It just comes down to, you know, keeping your ears on the ground, having very credible market intelligence, and making what I call educated predictions and guesses about which direction this is going to move. So you also don't want a situation where you end up sourcing, you know, months and months of acetic acid only to realize that the price went in the other direction. You know, it's like sometimes you'll come out ahead, sometimes you'll be in the red, but on an average, what we aspire for and what we promise is we will be in the 6%-8% EBITDA range.
Okay. Is it possible to split that ethyl acetate business geographically? So how much is in India and some of key export markets?
No, it's too early for us to say that. I think by the end of this year, once we have some significant revenue, we will be able to provide that split.
No, I'm talking about ethyl acetate, which is 80-85% of your chemical business.
Yes, I'm talking about ethyl acetate. My ethyl
Okay.
acetate business primarily is still domestic. I have very
Okay.
little coming from exports, and you're asking me whether it's
Okay.
possible to split that 85% number between exports and domestic. You know, it's mostly domestic for me right now.
Okay, got it. And just last one, on ibuprofen side, in ibuprofen from last year to this year, or roughly 300 crore kind of revenue, you have missed 320 crore kind of revenue. So the run rate, what we have achieved in Q1, so that is something we should take forward, or we can see uptick from here also?
So we will see an uptick from here. You're talking about Q1 of this new financial year, not the previous financial year, correct?
Yes.
Yes. So you are asking me for a prediction of going forward, how is the run rate of ibuprofen going to be?
Yeah.
So I would say that, you know, for ibuprofen, we should expect that my Q1 should be similar to what Q4 was last year, but Q2 onward, that volumes will start to increase.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ranveer.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag from Ratnatraya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Sure.
Just wanted to understand, could you share broadly what volumes we did for ibuprofen this year? And what kind of decline or growth, I mean, decline that we saw approximately? Can you give us a broad ballpark number?
You are talking about how much ibuprofen we did in FY 2021-22 versus the previous year?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I would say we declined by a few hundred tons or so, maybe almost 1,000 tons for the year.
Almost 1,000 tons. So is my approximation correct? That probably we were closer to, say, 8,000, 8,300 tons?
Yes, in that range, absolutely.
Okay, great. And sir, forgive me if this is, you know, repetitive, but in terms of pricing, you know, we have been talking about the pricing floor for the last few quarters now, and I understand that's a little bit of an external circumstance for the company, given that it's an issue related to overstocking at customer's end. But could you help us understand what gives you more confidence right now to believe that this is the floor and nothing, you know, in terms of pricing and volumes, that there's no more sort of couple of quarters left of pain? Just as an investor, I would love to understand what gives you confidence to believe that. Or is it that for a few quarters you still are unsure, but obviously in the medium to longer term, this will reverse?
So, you know, the early signs that we've received from our customers in terms of, you know, some overseas customers where we do long-term contracts, we see, you know, a sense in the positive direction. But, you know, is this one or two customers or the whole trend is there? It's early to say if that is a trend. I think by Q2, we will have a much clearer understanding of that, you know, with the directionary that this is a strategic shift that has happened or it was an aberration. But I will say this, in terms of the number of players that are supplying ibuprofen API, that number is few and far in between. Several of those players have either lowered their capacities or are not backward integrated, and therefore their cost positions are certainly higher than what our cost position is. And then the prices that have come down put, while they challenge me and put pressure on my business, they put a lot more pressure on other businesses that are not backward integrated. So what will happen is, those businesses certainly have other products at a larger scale than what I have. So what I expect any normal business will react is they will start to focus on products that give them more profitability. And so once that demand supply cycle gets upset again, the only way for the price to move is forward.
Understood, sir. Very clear. That was very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anupam Agarwal from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, can you give us some clarity? Am I audible?
Yes, very clear.
Yeah. Sir, can you give us some clarity on the paracetamol press release that came out a few months back? If you can help us understand the kind of capacity we are putting in and what is the kind of volume and pricing we anticipate?
Okay. So we've currently put in a capacity of around 1,800 tons a year, and we expect to take this to about 3,600 tons by the end of this year.
Have you started running this plant already, sir?
Yeah, so we are running this plant, but that's at the 1,800 tons capacity level.
All right. So, have you booked any sort of revenue in 4Q from paracetamol?
Yes, we started to book revenue for paracetamol.
Understood. Sir, one question on the balance sheet. There's a 185 crore jump in the other non-current assets. Can you help us understand that figure?
Could you repeat your question, please?
On the balance sheet, consolidated balance sheet, there's a 185 crore jump in other non-current assets. Can you help us understand what that line item is?
Yeah. So the FD that was in the short term has been moved into long term.
And that's sitting in other non-current assets?
Yes.
Okay. Understood. I'll get back to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jasprit Arora from Equintas PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. The opportunity. My question, sir, was around profitability swing that has happened in the last financial year in the pharmaceutical division. If you could just, so I'm referring to the segmental breakup, 460 crores in F21 dropping to 160 crores in F22.
Mm-hmm.
If you could help understand the bridge between this. So how much of this, I think you mentioned volume decline was about 10-odd%. Just correct me if I got that understanding or maybe slightly higher. So if you could help understand the bridge. So basically how much was by volume decline, how much cost push and how much was the price factor, realization factor, which I believe would be the very large part.
Okay. So broadly, you're talking specifically on the pharma side, Jasprit, correct?
Yeah, pharma, I'm taking the full financial year. So that takes into account all that monthly, quarterly variation.
Okay. So, couple of things. Number one, if I look at my pricing in ibuprofen, there was a significant difference in the, weighted average price for the 2 years.
Sure.
And, the way to think about that is, let's say I do 9,000 tons and the price difference is, 50 rupees. Right there, you have a 45 crore impairment sitting on about 8,000 to 9,000 tons. And all of it is coming not only from your top line, but significantly from the bottom line. So that is one. Second is, I actually sold almost 1,000 tons less than what I sold in the previous year.
So which is how much? 12% loan?
So, in terms of percentage, that's 10 to 12% range.
Okay.
But the way to think about that is at average prices of, say, $11, $12 or so, that straight away adds another 85 crores negative on your top line. Then the additional impact of this is because your asset utilization has gone down, your average cost of manufacturing goes up. So you get a further hit on your bottom line. And then your input costs have gone up, your energy costs have gone up, then you get those like a triple whammy.
That's correct. The larger point I was trying to understand, sir, is that, you know, I understand there is a 10-15% volume drop, and I'm sure because of that, there would be a negative, you know, the cost, which is on the fixed cost side, right? It could be another 10-15%, right? And add to that, maybe there would be the cost push, right? So this was the price swing. So let's say average, if you can help understand even the average realization for F22 and F21, that will also help. So just understand the price difference and how much that led to the swing.
I think if I look at just ibuprofen, my price difference in that. Is between 80 to 100 rupees per kg, the price difference in the two financial years.
So what was it in 22 and what was it in 21?
I think in absolute terms, I'm looking at a, you know, we've basically gone from about, you know, $12.50 or $12 to about $1.50 less.
$12 average moving to $10, are you saying?
10.5 to 11.
This is FY22.
Correct.
And versus 12 in FY21.
So actually previous year was between $12 and $13. This year has been between $11 and $11.50. And this pricing continues to be stable today. Even in this new financial year, we continue to be at this pricing level.
Okay. I'm actually not able to reconcile this. Maybe I'll take it offline. Related things was on slide 19, the segmental EBIT which you have shown on the both the drug side as well as the chemical side. So the drug side, assuming that's more like a stable business, I mean we've been there for long. The cycle 14%, and then you know we had that super cycle going up to 43, now back to 60. Would it be, and prior to this, I think we've been there in that mid to high double digit range in terms of EBIT margin, in terms of the so fair to assume that the next 2 or 3 years it oscillates again between that mid to high double digit and at least for the foreseeable future.
So I, you know, the guidance I would give is that expect our chemicals business, which is primarily ethyl acetate, to be in the 6-8% EBITDA range this year as well.
Okay.
And next year, the size of the business will improve along with the EBITDA margin as well, because the increased EBITDA will come from the new products that we have. On the pharma side, you can expect that the top line of that business will grow by at least 10%, and there will be a margin expansion. And the margin expansion will happen on two fronts. Number one, I continue to, you know, improve the quality and the size of the non-ibuprofen APIs. And I will continue to improve the quality of the API ibuprofen business through increase in volume as well as higher percentage of that sales coming from export market.
Okay. And this outlook obviously doesn't include any uptick in realization. Whatever happens, meaningful uptick in realization, that's over and above this.
Yes.
Okay. Got it. Great, sir. That helps a lot. Thank you so much.
Good. Thank you, Jasper.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Aditya Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Just one quick question I had on the expected margins on the API non-ibuprofen business. Sorry if I missed it. I'm not sure if you answered that.
My current margins in the non-ibuprofen business are actually in the single digits. And that's primarily because while I have set up the capacities, my asset utilization still continues to be low. As I improve that asset utilization and as I get approvals from regulatory authorities as well as customer audits into the export markets, that EBITDA margin will improve.
Got it. Any expectation, let's say, on a consistent level 3 years out or maybe 2-3 years out, what it is? And also, what is the utilization level currently and let's say last year?
So in terms of the asset utilization, you know, I would say we brought it to about, you know, in the range of 50%, 60% range. And in the next, you know, 12 to 18 months, we should take that to the 75% plus 80% level. That's one. Second, you talked about, you know, the EBITDA margins. So the EBITDA margins currently for the non-ibuprofen side are in the single digits. And that will certainly go into double digits this year.
Got it. And so how do we plan on winning out, you know, these customers when you go to place, when you once you get the approvals and you go to get the orders from these customers? I'm assuming they would be new customers for you as well. So is it just
yes.
a pricing question or how does that go?
So there are kind of, you know, two ways to think about this problem, Aditya. The first is, my lowest hanging fruit in terms of customers is where I don't have a customer acquisition cost. And these are customers who already do business with me in ibuprofen. So that's where I'm expanding. My focus is on expanding the non-ibuprofen portfolio. That's one. Second is when I go and do this business in regulated markets as in where I get approvals, pricing is certainly important, but not the only determinant. After all, you know, the end customer is buying their API from you. They are looking at not just reducing their cost, but actually, you know, minimizing their risk. So they would much rather buy APIs from, you know, manufacturers who understand scale and who are backward integrated and have a long track record of, you know, not fair weather suppliers. So if you look at us as an organization, we've been around for more than 3 decades. If you look at our history and track record, you know, the businesses that we are in, we don't go in and out of businesses. We are there and we are strategic partners for the long term. Third point being that we go in with, after we have the scale, we do, you know, backward integration. So if you look at ibuprofen, just as an illustration, we are certainly the only ones that is backward, completely backward integrated, all the way, you know, we buy toluene. Now, if I look at paracetamol, the new product that we've come in, we are manufacturing our own PAP. Okay. All the other products that I have, whether it's a clopidogrel or a pantoprazole or a levetiracetam, we have very strong technology development programs in place. The intent is very clearly to manufacture our own intermediates.
Okay.
And when you put, you know, when you put, you know, a high quality front end team along with strong regulatory and quality management capabilities, you know, you you go and attract the quality of customer that you want to attract.
Understood.
Our whole philosophy, Aditya, is very clear that we will do few things, but we will do them well.
All right. And sir, as of now, any plans to, you know, stop adding new products but look for utilization increase, or is it some, is it still some time till you have the portfolio you want to have?
You know, on a lighter note, Aditya, I will have investors this year and I have to have investors next year as well. So, you know, I can improve the asset utilization and that will only get me to a point, you know. So, for example, you know, if I borrow from my experience of ethyl acetate, my ethyl acetate plant is currently running at, you know, 90-95% asset utilization. So I've kind of hit a limit in what I can grow that unless I do some, you know, minor debottlenecking and improve that. But that minor debottlenecking will only add incremental value. I need to add more plants and more products to grow that. The same, you know, philosophy holds good on the pharma side as well. Once my pharma assets are all running at 80% and above, I have no option but to add more products and more plants.
Got it. So still we're on the track to, you know, add in more products to our portfolio with focus on backward integration in generics.
Absolutely. You know, with a focus not only on backward integration, but with a focus on adding quality of products that have the capacity to give me 25% plus EBITDA margin. Because that's the only way I can improve, you know, that will pull up the overall EBITDA margin for the company.
Understood, sir. Understood. And any range in terms of, let's say, you know, percentage of current fixed assets that you have that you would look to invest every year? Will give a sense as to what kind of revenue volume growth you would be looking at?
Yeah. So, you know, I would say that historically we've spent on an average about 150 crores annually on CapEx. This year we'll be going at about 250 crore level. And I think that will go into a combination of both chemicals and pharma, and that should give growth to both the business segments.
All right, sir. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Monish Shah from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, sir. So just two questions. One is, can you share any you know, outlook on exports and domestic you know, mix for our overall pharma business?
Okay. So in terms of exports, you know, we are currently you know, at about between 25-30% of our revenue comes from exports. And with a focus of growing the export market, both for chemicals and pharma, our intent is to certainly take that to, you know, 35% level.
Okay. And any guidance that you would like to give for EBITDA margins or EBIT margins for pharma business once, you know, your IPU volumes pick up well and also non-IPU contribution improves? So anything for FY24 or 20, you know, 23 you would like to share?
So, you know, if you look at our EBITDA margin that we delivered in this previous financial year, it was at 13% for the year. Our intent is to take that to 15% plus this year.
Okay. And that will improve on, you know, FY24 is?
Oh, absolutely. So, if I look at, you know, my 3-year journey, 4-year journey, I intend to take the average EBITDA margin from 13% to between 18-20%.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Sharma from CIL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Just wanted to know regarding the
clock. Sorry to interrupt, but there is a lot of disturbance from the background.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I'll just make my sense clear. Yeah, am I clear now?
Yes, Ankit.
Yeah, hi. I'm so sorry for the disturbance. Just one question, sir. Regarding the profitability point of view, previous year, the profit of the company was 445 crores. And now the profit has been decreased to 166 crores. So just wanted to know whether like by like FY23, would we be able to achieve 445 profitability or so?
Your question is, will we be able to achieve the profitability level that we got in the year prior to this one?
Yes, exactly.
The short answer is no. And, you know, before I just, you know, say no, I want to give you a little bit of a background and a flavor of where the industry is.
Okay.
So as an average, API industry, and I mean API industry, will operate at an EBITDA margin of, the median number is around 15%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So, there will always be lean seasons and there will be periods of excessive profitability that come from one-off. So if you look at a lot of the companies that enjoyed high levels of profitability because they had, you know, favipiravir or a molnupiravir that came, you know, during the COVID times, all that business has gone away now. So, you know, don't look at quarter-by-quarter profitability. I would really urge all the investors on this call to look at the growth journey and the story and the underlying strong fundamentals that IUL offers that will give profitability in a sustained way. What we've done from the profits that we received in the preceding years. See, during the early part of COVID, there was a lot of overstocking. In addition to that overstocking, it was, you know, a perfect opportunity because the capacity for some of our competitors were not in place. And therefore, the prices had gone up to irrational levels. And therefore, what we've done from the profits is we are going to be reinvesting that profits to be growing in a sustainable way. I would much rather promise my investors 18-20% EBITDA level than show a yin-yang between 30-35% back to 10% and then back to 30%. Because that story is not sustainable.
Got it. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sheikh Mohammed Ayash, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, I have heard a few interview of yours on CNBC TV 18. In that you told that we are going to deliver 15-20% margins. What was in terms of pharma and chemical, or pharma and chemical both, or in terms of pharma only?
So our intent was to deliver overall 15-20% margin for the company as a whole. Because, you know, on a lighter note, I am the CEO of the company and not the CEO of the pharma division. We like to look at the company overall as a whole. What happened was, you know, we did not achieve that 15% number because of, you know, all the reasons that I outlined earlier in the call. But that is our intent, and we have a path forward to deliver that number.
So, but in the same call, the anchor has also asked you whether you are going to return to single-digit return or not. You told no, we are going to deliver 15-20% margins in the EBITDA level. And when we see the result, it was less than 10%. I think in the June quarter, December quarter, it was, I think September quarter, the margin was around 10%. Last quarter, it was 13%. Now it has been back to 9%. So what is the future now? What is the margins you are going to deliver in upcoming quarters?
So, you know, there has been volatility, as I said, in the EBITDA numbers. And that volatility comes from volume volatility. It comes from raw material pricing volatility. But despite all these headwinds, we have delivered a double-digit 13% EBITDA number for the year. Going forward, we will continue to deliver double-digit EBITDA number.
Okay. And sir, another question was, sir, your chemical division revenue contributes 50% of the revenue, but this quarter it was in loss in terms of bottom line. So even in last quarter, it was not performing. But when we see other chemical companies, they are performing very well. So you don't think you need to improve a lot in chemical division?
I will answer the question, Mohammed, in two different perspectives. One is, our chemical business is primarily based on one product. And that product that we have, relies, you know, at least the key raw material of acetic acid relies entirely on imports. So therefore, you know, the ability to manage profitability becomes challenged when you have a single product with, you know, RMC dependent on imports. So what we are doing is we are actually de-risking this particular division by adding more products. And I talked about that in the earlier part of the call. So in the coming quarters, you will hear about the new products that we will be launching. And they will de-risk the entire chemicals business, because I will be adding more products beyond my current portfolio, and the products that I add will be at higher profitability levels than what is highlighted. So that's how I plan to de-risk the division of chemicals.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhaval Shah from Swan Investment. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the repeat opportunity. So on the other APIs like clopidogrel, pantoprazole, and levetiracetam, you mentioned you'll be manufacturing own intermediate as well.
Like for paracetamol, you started manufacturing PAP, and you know, it's great that you have achieved a stabilization of the quality, you know, while many others were trying in our country and they were not able to get that. So likewise, in this, the other three products, you know, over what time would you be going for the backward integration, or have you already started with it? You know, if you could throw some color on it, and also with a 3-year perspective, the API business by FY25, if we take a view on, what sort of product, you know, like a product breakup, if you could share that, you know, what's your thought? Like, how much would be IBU, how much would be metformin? You know, where do you see company over like FY25? Yeah, with the backward integration. Yeah.
Sure. So, Dhaval, there are actually quite a lot of questions that you've asked me within what you've said. I'll pick out the two key themes of what you asked. Number one, you asked me that, you know, over the next 3 years, how do I see the split of the pharma portfolio?
Yeah.
And needless to say, you know, ibuprofen will certainly become less than 50% of my total pharma business.
Okay.
Second, if I talk about the philosophy and the strategy of what we do, we come into products at scale. And what I mean by that is, you know, if I look at my metformin capacity is perhaps one of the largest in the country today. If I look at my, you know, clopidogrel capacity, it's one of the largest, if not in the country, perhaps one of the largest in the world. So what happens as a result of that scale is, that I am investing in business development activities to improve that asset utilization at scale. Once the commercial risk is addressed, at that point, I will go after the manufacturing risk and backward integrate. See, to backward integrate in products when your asset utilization is 20-30%, it does not make commercial viability.
Mm-hmm.
So you asked about the scale in terms of timing, by when we would have backward integration in other products. They are all at different stages. Some intermediates are at development stage. Some intermediates are at validation stage. But I think over the next 2 to 3 years, to 2025 that you mentioned, in key of the products that we have in the non-ibuprofen portfolio, wherever possible, we would have achieved backward integration.
Great. So what do you mean by scale? As an investor, how should we understand and keep a track that the company has achieved scale? So you mentioned metformin, you are largest in India. So would you be definitely looking at scale at a global level or at the India level? Because these are like sort of a semi-commodity or commodity kind of APIs. Maybe put it semi-commodity. So it would always be good to compare it on a global scale, if I'm not wrong. So how should we understand the scale of the product?
So, you know, we also like to look at business from the global perspective. And, you know, let me start with ibuprofen, flagship product, where, you know, the world capacity is about 36,000 tons, where our installed capacity is 12,000 tons. That is significant scale. You know, if I look at metformin, now, you know, here I have to take the India perspective, because there are several metformin manufacturers in China as well who have the benefit of being backward integrated in terms of having locally available DCDA.
DCDA, yeah.
Okay, so when I look at other players of metformin in India, their capacities are certainly smaller than mine. So I have, you know, scale. If I look at clopidogrel, the other players of clopidogrel have capacities that are, again, you know, lower in volume than what I have. So that's really what I mean by scale. You know, one thumb rule to remember when you think about scale is, are you going to end up with meaningful capacity? And who's the next competitor to you? That's how we like to think about scale.
Got it. And once you achieve that commercial utilization of the plant,
that's when we backward integrate to, you know, and that really gives the kick in the margins as well. So what happens if I have to sell 100 tons of a product, I will first sell 70-80 tons in India itself. Where I know the margin is challenged, I will not have more than 5% EBITDA margin there. But once I achieve that scale, parallelly I get qualifications into export markets. And then I try to, you know, move that business out of the 80, 90 tons, maybe 20, 30 tons into exports. And parallelly begin activities for backward integration. So I get margin expansion on the sales realization, and I also get margin expansion on the cost of manufacturing.
Got it, got it. So this, so with this business plan, you are confident of around at least achieving like a 15-16% kind of EBITDA margin at the company level in 23. And then
yes,
gradually add 1-2% every year.
Absolutely.
Got it, got it, got it. Okay, sir. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Dr. Sanjay for closing comments.
So once again, you know, thank you all for taking the time out of your busy schedules for this. I would like to reiterate the message that, you know, yes, this previous financial year, we had, despite, you know, very strong headwinds, the company continued to demonstrate good business performance in line with other API players. We continue to build a stronger and a much more sustainable future through our investments in CapEx, product portfolio, and increased regulatory filings. This year, we've made significant investment in leadership training and development, and we've also hired critical talent in the industry. And over the next year or so, IULCP will add to its portfolio of chemical products as well. Parallelly, we will grow the non-ibuprofen API business substantially and improve the quality of the API business. Increased penetration into exports and regulated markets will help enhance the bottom line and improve both our market presence and the overall brand of the company. Thank you all and have a great day.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.